So Lord, we thank you for this privilege of relating to you, appointed by your grace to be a member of your work, your care, your wisdom, your love, your person in this world. Help us understand this subject tonight and use it in your name. Guide us in understanding what true wealth is. What is true wealth? What it is to work? What work is? Guide us in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we had a brief diagram up on the list, a short outline, and we started it with the subject of social responsibility. And this because we are in Baltimore City and we see that there is reaction and also discussion and thought about justice in our city. And we continue to pray for authorities and also justice, and more deeply, what behind the fact that we are citizens here is that we also have work. We have our jobs and work, and we want to speak about that tonight, about what it is for the believer to work, how we think in regards to work, what is it, and how God and our understanding of God's character will affect me in this area. And behind that work is my family and friends, the people closest to me, and then behind that is my personal holiness. So really, we start, the first part is our new birth. By our new birth, we are now holy. This is our status, our calling. It is true about us. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have a new nature. Probably that's this microphone, is it? No? Could you turn that off or no? Okay, thank you, Ed. Probably we Why did I say probably? Because what I want to say is definitely. We are, by Christ and his great work of grace, we are his children and God. And the concept we have of God is important. There are many religions in the world and ideologies, to mention a few. I don't know how that can stop because it bothers me. I don't know if you hear it. Do you hear it? Okay, I don't know what to do. I think I'll leave. Okay, there is... There it goes again. I don't know what that is. Pastor Steve, can you help me? What? Okay. That goes in the Chesapeake, I think. Okay. All right. Okay. So, personal holiness, the born again, the spirit, the relationship, and the concept of God. Buddhism has a concept of God, and work is not part of a Buddhist life, as they are committed to Buddha and their devotion to him. They also live a very lazy and irresponsible kind of lifestyle. You can see that in their culture. In Greek culture, they also had a low concept of work. And in spite of this heathen influence, the Greek and Roman view of work, it was only Christianity, respectively, the religion of revelation, the world has to thank for another view of the nature and value of labor. In Buddhism, there is no dignity in labor. In Greek society, labor was viewed as an inescapable fate imposed by the gods. To be like the gods meant to live free from labor. In the world of the ancient Orient, labor was viewed as a burden, as slave labor for the gods, who therefore were free from labor. The goal was to withdraw from this service, from this labor as far as possible. Labor was a burden without dignity. So we have, in a general understanding here, that man in Genesis chapter 1, made in God's image, and God worked in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. There's a question that comes to my mind, and it is, before God created the universe, did God work? Was he and is he a working God? And the answer is yes, because there are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Proverbs chapter 8, we read there regarding the relationship that God had with himself. It was a relationship of wisdom. It was also a relationship of rejoicing, and it was also a relationship of purpose. They served one another. They cared about one another. The Father cared about the Son, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and mutually together as God with purpose and direction, if we can say it that way, in human terms we understand, but this is a dimension of reality that we are just tasting and can only speak of it in terms of our human existence. Jesus later said in John chapter 9, I bet these are great words, John 9. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What kind of work is work? I was thinking recently about the country of Saudi Arabia and also their culture and their enormous amount of money. Saudi Arabia has huge amounts of money. But if you took the money away from the country, what is the country? Who are the people? What are the people thinking? How do the people live? How do they serve? What God do they know? Who is God in their minds? There was a time in European history, 16th century Spain had Peru and Bolivia as colonies, and they took out of Bolivia these huge amounts of silver, and Spain became the richest country in Europe. But then, because silver in itself cannot make you rich, when the silver is gone, what is the culture? What is the community? What is the work ethic? What is the mentality of the people? Because money cannot determine for us the true quality of our life. Because God in heaven as God is the one that works and gave man the desire and the design to work. Work is not a curse. Work is part of our design related to God who also works. God is a worker, or in another word, God is a servant. Now, if there are people here unemployed and struggling with things, I'm not talking to you. I don't have anybody here in mind regarding that. I'm talking about something deeper, and that is ministry. That is something that is in our heart by the new birth. For we are designed to be workers. I'd like you to see something here. Here's a picture of a God who is, we could say this way, God with a small g in the Greek mind. He is privileged with leisure. The gods are gods of rest, comfort, pleasure, lust, leisure, privilege. That's what the Greek mind and the Buddha mind and many other ideas that come from the human heart. That is like, communism is a atheistic view, but the result of their ideology is basically this, that people labor and they work, and this is our duty and our responsibility, but ultimately the benefits of it go to an elect and a select group of people, even though ideologically they don't believe it, but in practice that's what happens. Do you see? The common people are here laboring, and generally people think of it as a curse. He has the privilege, he has the leisure, I am working. But God and his plan for us is actually another way, and it is this one. It is that God is the God that serves, and this is big G, and he has responsibility. He is the most responsible person because he has the greatest authority. He is able to be there for you. He is able to answer your prayer. He is able to carry your burden. He is able to care about your future. He is able to forgive you of your sin. He is able to speak to you in the night. He is able to show up in your crisis. And he can do so because he is God and he is a working God, serving God, responsible God, with an amazing amount of authority to do it because he is God. The nature is my authority isn't for my privilege. My authority is for your benefit. It is for you to benefit by having me around. Isn't that amazing? This is a new definition for work. Work is not a paycheck. work is more like this understanding of who is God. When I go to work, I am going as a servant with God giving me the ability. We can put down a few words here. There is the talent. There is the, let's see. The purpose. These are my papers here. Talent, purpose, privilege. I may not like my job, but I'm not serving only in terms of my job. Whatever we do it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24. I was thinking of a couple examples of people that serve without money in mind. One of them is Proverbs 31. Turn there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 31. A woman, a mother, could be a dad, could be a teenager. But here we have the description of a virtuous woman, 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above a paycheck. Her price is way above a contract. Her price is way above the earthly way of measuring value. That is what Spain needed. What Spain needed in Europe with all of their silver was a mentality that would develop and cultivate the culture so that a large number of people would be workers, teachers, educators, servants, churchmen, missionaries. So when the silver is gone, there are values there that are far above rubies, but far above the silver mines, or in the case of Saudi Arabia, far above the oil, the pile of money. What is money? Just piles of money or piles of silver. Well, where is the real value? It's a mother. A mother's heart. A missionary who goes by faith, and he is a worker, not because of money, for money is a poor motivator, but knowing God is a great motivator. For God is a worker. God is saying, where is the need? I can fill it. God is saying, what do you need? I am here. I've got a big carrying capacity. And I expect you, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, to carry a burden that I give you because I am God and I made you like me. And because you are like me, then you will discover the joy of what it is to be a human being that enjoys the labor. Just flip over to Ecclesiastes 5 in verse 18, please. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his portion. There is something to be said about showing up, being responsible, doing your best. There is something to be said about trusting God, even when you don't like it, and believing that God will help you and lead you and guide you in it. And when the project is done, there's something good about it to say, I can eat that. that happened. That was pure. That was true. That was genuine. That was from God. God blessed me. So this is the meaning. Verse 19. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Now go back to Proverbs 31. And I want to speak about this woman for a few minutes and then another example. Verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. You could never pay this woman enough money for her dedication and her service. But where does it come from? Where is this heart and this mind and this dedication and this satisfaction that she feels in her life? Where does it come from? It comes from her faith in God. She is being spirit-filled. She is responsible to her family. She is thinking about her children in the snow and making them clothing and preparing food for her children and paying whatever price needed. She is a worker. Another example that came to my mind was Ray Lewis, who was a hard-working Raven linebacker for years, as many of you know. And I know he got paid a lot of money, and I'm sure money was part of his whole life, but there was something more about him. And it was, we're going to win. We are to serve each other. We are to be a team. We are to care about our team. We are to care about our coaches. We're to do a job. We're going to work hard in practice. We're going to do our level best. Work hard and be highly committed and dedicated. This work ethic is in our Christianity because we have a God like we drew up here on the wall, where he is saying there's something exciting about living a life as a servant of God. Not a man running after, you know, what is best for me so that one day, this is how people sometimes they think that, you know, one day this will be me. I will be here and I will have the leisure and that's it. Hey, don't bother me. I've retired. I'm out. I'm done. I did it all. I realize retirement is part of our life and I'm not against it and so on. But it's strange. If 30-year-old man was to say, I'm done. Now it's all about me. This is my life. That man is poor. That man may have a lot of wealth, but he doesn't have the real wealth that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, do not seek this diagram up here on the wall. We're at Matthew 6, 24 to 33. Do not seek this diagram, but seek my righteousness and the kingdom and follow God because God is, but there's good news here. God is also the God that has given us rest. On the sixth day, was it? No, I'm sorry, the seventh day. I should know that, shouldn't I? On the seventh day. Let's see, was it the fourth or was it the third day? On the seventh day, you are to rest from your labor. I made you like this. But on the first day, you go back at it. And you know me because I am the God that works. And Christ said, I work while it is day, but the night is coming. Speaking of the devil's work that was coming in a short while. And he would not be able to do this work anymore, but be crucified for us. Okay. This leads us to think, what will heaven be like? We are made to work, then I would imagine it'll continue forever. Why would it stop? Why would he make us as workers and not continue to keep us as workers forever? If God has always been working, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, serving one another, caring about each other, one another, in this way that we just cannot even. But he neither slumbers nor sleeps, Psalm 121. He is not bored. He is not indifferent. He's not irresponsible. He is not lazy. He is not careless. He is not indifferent. He is not like, I don't even care about you, but he's exactly the opposite. I care. I am here. I am a servant. I am the one that loves you. I am your father. That's a good example. A father. You know, when you're a dad and you have to carry 80 pounds of concrete out of Home Depot, you're going, you're dragging it out. But when your son weighs 80 pounds and you have to carry him to the hospital in an emergency, the 80 pounds is different. One is a heavy 80 pounds, one is a light 80 pounds. Why? Because the work is different. Why? Because of love. Because of relationship. Do you think God would make the universe like this and just take it and say, I'm done? I'm out of here? I don't care about you? Exactly the opposite has happened. That is why it is a travesty for a human being just to live for a paycheck without any sense of responsibility for really what he is doing. For a mother doesn't get paid, but her heart is in her work, and she is called virtuous. How much did Jesus get paid for showing up for a meeting or saying a prayer? One time in Azerbaijan, they invited us to come to a village and pray for a sick man. They said the people there wanted to be paid for their prayers, but they knew that the Christians would come and pray and not charge for the prayers. That's strange, isn't it? The concept of God will be reflected in the way we live. And the fact that we take this as serious and we take it as a privilege, and we have talent, opportunity, faith. We care about the city of Baltimore, but what the city of Baltimore needs, just like every one of us here in this room, is the right understanding of who God is and get into his service. I'll never be unemployed as I get into his service. Yes, I do need a job. But at the same time, why can't I? I believe that if I follow, seek him first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto me. I talked the other day to a man. He said, they didn't hire me, so I said, I'll work for free. And he worked for free for the company. He said, yeah, you don't want to hire me. That's okay. Let me just work for free for you. They gave him his his project in his desk, and after 2 days, they hired him. You know, why am I saying this tonight? Just simply, I think there's a lot more that can be said about it. Wealth has to be redefined. Our country could be materially poor, but spiritually rich. A person could be materially poor, but filled with faith, vision, opportunity, love. So that it goes this way, that the God who carries the burden has called me into his fellowship. And he says, here, take this, do this, follow me, trust me. I will empower you. I will give you the gifts. I will give you the talent. I'll give you the opportunity. I will visit you in the night. I will help you and carry you through it. And though you are on the bottom, actually, I am making you a person that people will come to because you are responsible, hardworking, being there, and following me and doing this. Okay, so let's close by saying this last thing. Hebrews 2. Hebrews. Verse 6. One in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? That's got to be one of the greatest questions that people face. What is man? What is man that you would be mindful of him, that you would employ him in your service, that you would call him into your work? What is man that you would make you, he would be a partaker with you in your eternal purposes? And when we leave our body one day, our body of sin and death, and we will be with Christ forever, we will be employed by God forever. We are a member of his body. We will not be floating around like people plucking harps on clouds. We'll be industrious, of course, because there's a picture like this. Look up at the screen. This is one dimension. This is two dimensions. This is three dimensions. Do you see it? One dimension, two dimensions, three dimensions. Where does the three come from? From the two. Where does the two come from? From the one. What does it mean? There's a building. There's one dimension, there are two, and then there are three. And can I suggest today that God is not done, but there is more that is going to happen, and he will go from the first to the second to the third and then on, and that there is a world that we have not yet seen, but we can believe it because we are in a three-dimensional world that came from somewhere, from someone. And work was part of that. We will work forever and ever in a way that is way beyond what we can imagine, where we were made in his image to keep the garden, and we will be part of his program forever and ever. And right now in this life, you are cheating yourself if you think life is simply to get the most you can for yourself at the best price, and to benefit as much as you can for yourself. It's not true. The best way to live, the happiest way to live, the greatest way to live is to look for responsibility, to look for opportunity to serve, to look for opportunity to lay down your life. The best way to live in a most satisfying way is to be a worker that God has made you. And last word on this, I think, is there is a work that is not the work we're talking about. and the Japanese do it. It's called karoshi. It is 10,000 Japanese people die every year because of overwork. They overwork, they work, they work, they work. And that is their culture, and that is their mentality. And in a way, it is commendable. On the other hand, it is a reflection of the wrong concept. It is working without the God that has called us to labor and work His way, in His nature, and in His fellowship. That is where we have peace, rest, power, love, wisdom, faith. And we play a guitar. That is God's service. We share. We make a phone call. We go somewhere. We do something in love. That is service. That is work. Okay. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts tonight, not to see it any other way, but as an extension of your great plan. We are passionate about what we do because we are with you, a passionate God, a healthy God, powerful God, the only wise God. Bless these thoughts tonight in your name. And then anyone here tonight that does not have Christ, you must come to Him, receive Him, believe in Him, be born of Him, and He will lead you and guide you in a way of thinking, a way of living that will be deeply satisfying. Take your sin away and give to you Himself. Would you raise your hand if you're asking Jesus into your heart tonight? Anyone at all? You're asking Jesus to be your Savior. Anyone at all? Raise your hand. Yes, Lord, in your name. Amen.